So one thing I want to point out is that the conditions are different. I think it's different to let go if something is light. And that's where I think the question, how long does this last, is a very important one. Because you could have a feeling, you could have a situation, you could have a contact, which is unpleasant, but which doesn't last. And then in a way, if you don't grasp at it, the letting go can happen fairly quickly. But because a thing is light, then you have a situation where things seem to repeat themselves. Like, it's not that you have problem all the time. It's not that you have difficulty all the time. But time to time, a situation seems to repeat itself. And I would say the letting go there is very different. I'll talk more about this tonight. Because here it's more seeing, oh, at time it's not here, at time it is here. And what are the conditions? And so in a way, the wisdom part there is very important in terms of understanding what's going on. In terms of, in a way, letting go, not of the thing itself as much as the triggers, as the condition, as understanding what goes on. And then you have what I think you are referring to is when you get an experience which is very intense. So there is a shock to the system, something happened which is very intense, and I don't think you have an intense experience, you're really impacted by it, it's a shock to your system, and I don't think the idea is let it go. It doesn't matter. It doesn't work. Most of the time, it doesn't work. Because what you are experiencing has a great impact. So, and it's an impact on the whole body and mind, on the whole system. And so I think there, it has to go through you. That it be the loss of somebody, you might feel it for a year. But over time, you might be able to handle it in a different way. And so I think to be careful, what are we talking about when we talk about letting go? That it doesn't mean that we get rid of it. Because often there is this impression, letting go means getting rid of something. But if you have an intense experience, it's unlikely you're going to get rid of it like that. And that's not the idea. But the first thing would be, how can I not increase the intensity of that experience? So the letting go could be in not adding something to the intensity. That's one letting go. Another letting go could be, I have this intense experience reverberating in the whole body and mind, and how can I create space within it? So again, you don't stop it, but for a few seconds, you could diminish the intensity by coming back to the breath, by looking at a tree, whatever it might be. But you don't do it to stop it. You do it actually to create some space. So again, you're not increasing the intensity. And then, I think that's why I talk a lot about change and condition, is to see, because this has happened, because this has impacted you, it will have an effect for some time. But the effect doesn't have to cover everything. And I think it's, again, the wisdom of saying, yes, I'm experiencing something very intense now, but can I be careful and not reduce all my experience, all my identity to that? So again, can it exist within a wider framework? So that I would say there are, in a way, different aspects of letting go. And that's what I want to talk about tonight. And not see letting go just as getting rid of something or just as stopping something. I would say that you actually have, with the mindfulness, we can start to understand that there are different things coming together. I would say you have the trigger, but you also have some inner conditions, and you also have some outer condition. So you can have something which triggers you, but if the inner condition and outer condition are okay, you will not be triggered. So for example, if you are ill, you can be more easily triggered. If you don't sleep well at night, you might more easily be triggered. If some people have been more unfriendly to you recently, you might be more easily triggered. So I think it's important to see that the trigger is not enough in a way. Generally, you need other conditions. And so the mindfulness is to see that, yes, I am triggered, but not all the time and to the same degree. So it's in a way trying to understand the trigger, the inner condition, and also the outer condition, and how all these three things generally contribute. And then I think it's also to see another bit is limits. It's very interesting how, again, due to various conditions, we have certain limits of patience, of endurance. And so, in a way, you can notice, maybe with meditation, our limits are a little larger, and then you think, you know, yeah, it's bothersome, but I'm okay. And they do this, they say, I don't like it, but I'm okay. And so it seems that this is not triggering you anymore. But then, if for whatever reason it goes over a certain amount, one minute you are fine and the next you are not fine. This is also interesting to see how sometimes our limits become greater, but sometimes they can also narrow. And so in a way to be also, I think, very important, what is my limit? And to be careful not to think that because I meditate, my limit should be greater all the time. They might not be. To me, I found that fascinating because I generally try to be calm and patient and things like that. And a lot of the time I am. And then sometimes something happens and I am not anymore. And I found, And I recognized that my limit was there. And then when you go over the limit, it's like there is nothing anymore. Up to that time, you had, yes. And then you get to that limit, and then there is nothing. That's what is very interesting, how it can shift. So it's also important for us to know, what is my limit? And in what conditions? Because again, they can be wider, they can be shorter. And then I think it's also to notice, I think before we can creatively engage with the triggers, we have to really know them. That's why I think just letting go is not useful. You know, I don't want to be triggered, I'm not going to grasp, but you don't understand how it works. And I think that's why it's very important, like when we sit in meditation, lots of information. What is it I think about? When I have some thought, is that bringing pleasant feeling tone? Is that bringing unpleasant feeling tone? what kind of word? This is also interesting. You're sitting in meditation, you're quite fine. Yeah, yeah, everything is fine, breath, yeah. And then suddenly, a word comes in. Maybe, I don't know what kind of word the Finnish have, which are triggering. But one of the words often that triggers is, it's unfair. It's unfair. If suddenly you have this word comes in, it's unfair. And then you can really, just that word. Or for some people, if somebody doesn't look at them in a way that they're seen, and then you're sitting here and you're okay, but then you think, the other day they looked at me and they did not look at me properly. You know, he did not see me. Or he did not listen to me. You know? So, I mean, it's not happening now. So you could be okay because it's not happening now. But just because the word or the image or the memory is a trigger. So I think it's very important for us to notice what is it that triggers me and what is it that does not. But also to notice, that's part of the mindfulness, to notice what trigger other. I think it's also to be aware of that. Not that we don't want ever to trigger others. You cannot be so careful all the time. But I think it's interesting to see what is the impact of others on me and what is my impact on others. That also can become interesting. What is triggering? My side, their side. And how can we meet in a way respecting our trigger, not avoiding, but respecting them, understanding them. And so to me, the thing with the trigger is really to see it clearly. I think the mindfulness helps us to see first, when am I triggered and when I'm not? That's very important. And then to recognize what are the conditions that makes it so. Long ago, I had, whenever my husband went away for some travel, I would get upset. After a few days, I would get really upset. And so the first time it happened, I thought, it's his fault. The second time it happened, I thought, what's happening? You know, for 3 days I'm fine, friendly on the phone, and the fourth day I'm quite nasty on the phone. I thought, what happened? And I could see it was because he was not here. So then the next time, I bring lots of mindfulness. First day fine, second day fine, third day fine. And then on the fourth day, I see the thought, that's a trigger. That when that thought arises, then I go into a dark place. And I see, the condition is that he's not here, but the trigger is me having that thought on which I grasp, I identify, and then I go into this huge story of poor me, poor me, poor me. And once I saw that, then after that, I was careful that I saw this is just a thought. It's a triggering thought, but it's just a thought. And so after that, I was very careful that I would not follow the thought, a little doing what the Buddha said, don't follow the thought if it's dangerous. And so helping myself to do something else. And what I was surprised is how by just doing that once, it never happened again. And I can't remember what the thought was. But it was so powerful then. So I think the first thing is really to be mindful, but mindful in that clear, seeing way. So back to the equanimity phrases, see and know things as they arise. So it's really, so in the mindfulness, in the letting go, for me there is a lot of understanding, a lot of clarity, so that the mindfulness brings things to clarity, but within a kind, clear environment. And then you can look at it, not in an accusing way or not in a victim way, but just, oh, that's what's going on. How can I creatively engage with that? Yes.
Continuing from there, what do you think, to what extent is it helpful to be aware of all the conditions? Because I've now noticed that the feeling tone is often created by some kind of conditions. Then I can be aware of those conditions, that they are created by some conditions, and it goes on, infinite progress. To what extent is it helpful or wise to explore that web of endless conditions? Because one could go very deep, and I assume there's a limit after which is not helpful.
Here we could look at it in two different ways. Because if we look at it more from the mindfulness point of view, then we would really generally more look at the experiential condition. So we might look more at the condition which are relatively, you could say, within the last few seconds, the last day, the last week. So generally you would see it within a context of condition which is relatively narrow in terms of experience. And this is a different approach, of course, from a more psychological, Western psychological approach of Freud or Jung or different type of theory of psychology, where there you go way, way, way back. But that, I think, is very different. So when we talk about condition here, we're not looking at the myriad of conditions, because as you say, there are too many. And also we cannot know all of them all the time. That, I think, there is a limit to our knowledge. There is a limit to our understanding. And then you have, in a way, what you could say, the personal condition. And then you can have the cultural condition. You can have the work condition. You can have the university condition. You can have the family. I mean, in a way, there is really a lot of condition. So I think here, because it is not Western psychology, which has a totally different theory and system, which is very useful, but within its own context, I think it's very important that we are not doing that, though this can be very useful, I think, for some people. That actually what we're trying to do is to know the condition that we can know to a certain degree, and not more than that. Because we are a little limited in terms of we cannot know what somebody else really thinks. Because what I think we also have to be careful about is interpretation. Because with condition, you have the condition itself. Somebody said something, somebody does something, for example. Or you say something, or you do something. But then you could start to interpret. So are you looking at the condition, or are you looking at the interpretation of the condition? And then you can really go like, oh, they said this, they did this because of that. But unless you really ask them, you don't know. And they might or not tell you, depending on how frank they want to be or not. So I think when we talk of condition, we're actually talking more of, you could say, the milieu. We're talking of more like, not as much as causation, as in a scientific study. And then with causation, you have all the story about correlation. At the moment, I'm involved with a scientific study. And then you can see there is lots of story about causation and correlation and things like that. But here I think, talking more about creatively engaging with the environment in which this flow of condition meets the outer condition. So he's kind of looking more at the web, how we are connected, how we are influenced. And so they can be personal condition, like I was saying, tired, stress, not sleeping well. You have also outer condition, which you have no, sometimes nothing, you cannot do anything about certain conditions because it's a society or it's cultural or it's accidental. So, and then there is a thing, so you have that, it's kind of like the environment, the surrounding for what we experience. And then there is a meaning we give to it. And then the meaning we give to it, of course, is going to be conditioned by different things. It's going to be conditioned by perception. Also, it's going to be conditioned by what is it I'm looking at. This is another thing. You know, you could say this is all because of that. Because you, that's all you look at. And actually, it could be all because of this. But you're not looking at it, so you don't notice it. So sometimes, it's also where do we put our focus? And it's hard to have our focus on everything at once. So generally, we'll have to be selective on what we look at. And then we have to be careful because we can convince ourselves, this is because of this. And actually, yes, or maybe no. So it's kind of like I would bring with this exploration that it's not a precise scientific study where we try to control all the parameters. Because that's what I'm seeing in this study I am doing. We're going to teach meditation to seniors, people who are 65 plus. And we're going to compare it to them studying English and see what will improve them better, learning English or doing meditation. But then, there is this thing that the researcher wants them to use tablet to just do little record every day so that it's easier to do research that way. And it's cheaper too. But then somebody said, but what about if that becomes a parameter? And then actually them using the tablet is what will have more effect than the English or the meditation. So then we kind of, you know, looking at the different parameters. And so it's always that. I think we kind of have to accept a certain level of mystery, that we can know certain things, we can try to understand the context, the environment. Sometimes it's clear, and sometimes it can be a mystery. That's the way I would kind of look at that. But one thing which is interesting in terms of the feeling tone is to notice, and this is why I put such emphasis on feeling tone and also especially unpleasant feeling tone, is because you go about your day and then something happened. Like either you were in a good mood and then somebody said something or something happened or you made a mistake and you think, and so in a way you shift from pleasant to unpleasant. But it's a little shift. You know, it's not a major something. It's just a little shift. And you go about your day because you have things to do. And then, an hour later, you find yourself talking nastily to somebody. And they have not done anything. And then it seems interesting to see, but why am I speaking that way? And then if you look, sometimes it's because there is this unpleasant feeling tone. And it comes out that way. We're easily influenced by unpleasant feeling tone. And then you go back, you retrace a little bit, and you say, oh, an hour ago, there was this shift. I made that mistake. And it made me feel bad. And now it's spreading. So that's why I'm very interested in the feeling tone because of that. Because actually, Sometimes it can be really minute thing, but because of the shift. And that's why it's interesting to notice that as long as the pleasant feeling tone is pleasant, it's pleasant. But when it stops, does it just go back to neutral? Or because it stops, by itself, this makes it unpleasant? That's an interesting question. Or if you have an unpleasant feeling tone and it stops, it might not just go back to neutral. It might actually be pleasant not to cough anymore, not to have a headache anymore, and you're so aware, wow, I am well. I am well. And then you forget you're well because it becomes neutral. And so to me, what is interesting with the feeling tone is to notice how a shift can have either a good effect, like sometime if I feel a little, I don't know, unwell, or I don't know, I will do some tidying up. So I tidy my wardrobe. You know, I don't do that often, but time to time I feel like, let's tidy the wardrobe. So I just, you know, for an hour, I move this, that, and it shifts my feeling tone. Very interesting how it shifts. And that's a way to shift, doing something like that for me time to time. So it's interesting that, you know, you have certain feeling tone and you could leave them there and they might influence certain things. Or you could play with doing something totally different. And then there will be a shift in the condition. There will be a little shift in the weather. It's very interesting what makes the shift. And sometimes, actually, small things can make the shift. So in a way, the letting go is not that huge getting rid of something. It's just there is sixth sense door. Can I shift just one? I don't have to shift all of them. But sometimes can I just shift one? And we're going to have a major shift with lunch.